Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to share 10 pieces of advice that I have stored up on a notebook on my computer. Now, I was thinking about what do I want to do this episode about, and I opened this folder and had a little look in it. And all 10 pieces of advice are great, but they're things that I don't think about enough, things that I don't look at. And I'm remembering that if I don't hear things or say things, they don't always embed the same way. So in this episode, I'm going to share these 10 bits of advice, and I'm going to put a little bit of flavor around each of them that helps us with dyslexia to really remember them. So let's dive in and give this episode a try. Okay, let's give this episode a try. This is the first time I've done one like this. It's really for me, to be honest. I want to embed more of this learning rather than just read it once and go, hey, that looks really good, and then kind of forget about it and move on with my life. So what I will do is I'll copy these into the show notes as well. So you can copy them and keep them somewhere, read them to yourself. There may be one that really stands out. So the first one is skills stack on top of each other and create asymmetrical returns to all the skills before them. Isn't that just a giant load of words? But what it's basically saying is skills compound. So if you learned something as a kid, maybe you were someone who learned how to draw and you became really fantastic at drawing. And then when you're older, you started to get a real interest in financial skills and money and budgeting. Now you can apply your drawing skills. You've now got these money skills on top, and you can combine them to create amazing cartoons about money and financial wealth. Now that's a very top level example, but these are happening every day. Every time you pick up a new skill, however small, it layers on top of what you've done. So you're always the most skillful you'll ever be, you know, in your life, because you are the subject of what you've done. Now this seems really common and obvious, but there are times I know myself where I struggle to learn new skills. I just feel like, what's the point? But realistically, when I've learned that skill, it actually applies a new perspective to the other skills I've learned and makes me better, way better than just the skill I've learned. So it's a good thing to remember. Two, if you want to feel terrible, remember there's always someone doing better. Now, it took me a couple of times to read that one again because it's kind of negative, right? It kind of feels negative, but it's kind of trying to be a bit like that. You know, it's basically saying to us, you know, if we're feeling bad, you know, and start scrolling social media or whatever, you're always going to find someone in a better position. And what you look at a lot is what's going to happen, right? If you're always looking at people that seem to be having perfect lives, you're going to feel worse and worse. And it doesn't matter how high you get, there's not like one person in the world who is the best. Like, you know, I think, I can't remember at the time of recording this, Elon Musk may be the number one richest person in the world. If wealth was the only thing you were judging by, you know, there's not one person. Like, that person keeps changing, right? It's not Elon doesn't get to the top and go, oh, life's perfect, I've nailed it. You know, he keeps going, right? He buys Twitter and does what Elon does. You know, it's just the way he rolls, you know. So like, it's not like there's always someone better than us. So you're never going to get to a point where you've peaked out and you've reached the top of the world. So stop comparing yourself to these people. Waste of your time, waste of your life. Three, we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught. Now, I really love this one because it is so true. I know bucket, and we all have an I know bucket of all this stuff we've heard but not implemented, where someone would say something to us, I go, I know. I've never used it, but I know. You know, like the amount of times I used to say that as a kid, as a teenager, probably a young adult, was huge. And I had so much in me, like from a knowledge point of view, it was like, you know, I was just an I know machine. It was like, it was hilarious. But as I'm getting older, and I learn something from a different perspective, or I'm reminded of something I need in the moment, it's much more powerful than being taught something new. It's very rare, actually, that I'm finding myself learning brand new stuff. It's usually being reminded of what I've let go or what's passed me by in my life. So, you know, how can you get reminded more in your life? You know, how can you start reminding yourself of what you've learned and how to use it in today's way? So 4, long after we die, the values we chose to exemplify to ourselves remain eternal. So what that's really saying is, I actually have no idea. We're going to pass that one because I've got no clue what it means. Feel free to put your own judgment. I'll put it in the show notes. 5, failure is to be expected, not avoided. Failure is feedback, not judgment. Now, this is massive. For so many dyslexics, we take failure as, you know, something that's judgment, complete judgment, where failure is just something in life. It's part of it. It's a key part of it. It makes the good times good. Without failure, you can't have, you know, the good times, right? It wouldn't work. You've got to have that comparison in our lives. And so learning about failure being feedback is a game changer. If you feel that everyone's judging you or picking on you or pointing at you, you know, when you can realize, hey, it's just feedback, it's a lot easier to deal with. It's so much easier to deal with. And then if you think it is judgment, I always use the whole 3 fingers pointing at the person who's giving judgment. You know, that visual really helps me. 6, if someone isn't going to speak over you at your funeral, don't let them speak over you during your life. You know, I found that really interesting. Again, it's a great call in the fact that how often we let people we don't care about, you know, talk about us and think that it's real. You know, the amount of people that couldn't care less about that we let judge us is crazy. Now, I've gotten much better at this over the last few years, but, you know, in my first 30 years, I was terrible at this. I would completely take on energy and judgment from people that didn't matter at all. And I really thought that they had some sort of secret divine understanding just because they sounded confident when they didn't. They were just fools. So I should have just let it go. And it's a lot easier now that I've gone through life as long as I have. I've had the experiences, I've done the work, you know, but it's an important one. If you are letting, you know, people speak over you, you know, how do you let it go? How do you start to let it go more? 7, if we can change how we speak, we can change how we live. And I find that like really good. I'm really trying to get more into this at the moment. Of using, you know, I went through a period where I just used visualization to try and change my life. And it works really well for the big stuff. And now I'm starting to use more, trying to use words and let that generate the images in my head on repeat, because the words out loud do help. I'll give you a great example. I was playing my video game last night, FIFA. I love football and I play it a bit. It's my kind of zone out kind of zone. And I was playing a game and I really didn't at one point think I'd get to a certain level. I had to win a certain number of games. I think it was 9 games and I had 1 game to go. Or actually I had 3 games to go and I had to win all 3 of them before the end of this tournament. And so I'm sitting there at one point going, oh, it doesn't matter. I've got 6 wins. That's pretty good. I'll be okay. And then instead I said, okay, what if I change the narrative? What if I say, hey, you're great at FIFA, Stephen. You're fantastic. You are so good. You're composed. You know how to play. You go slowly. You've got a vision of where you're going. You know, and I was using really visual words, but I was really giving myself praise. And I did it for all 3 games. Now I won every one of those games, all 3 of them, where there were periods there where I was losing games I shouldn't have. And by changing the words and the pictures in my head and telling myself I was great, just in that moment, it's like my body and my mind said, yep, I believe you. Let's go. You know, and you know, beliefs are all made up. So we may as well choose the ones that work for us. And it's something I forget to do in life too often. But that was a great reminder last night. And, you know, hey, where can you use it in your life just to test it out? You know, who cares if you're wrong? Just test it out, right? Just believe it, say it, you know, live it just in a small moment and start to build confidence that it works. 8, we seek the freedom to choose what we do rather than freedom from doing things altogether. Yeah, so the key things with that is, you know, the way I perceive that saying is we kind of think we want this endless freedom, you know, of everythingness. But actually what we love as humans is majority of us love society to a point. There are parts of society that's great, be it the way we've developed shelter or, you know, options of food, all this stuff. Like there's a heap of the world that's just absolutely fantastic. And we want to live in that society. We want to do what it takes to be there. But real success is the freedom to choose what you want to do in that society, the freedom of time, the freedom of things. That's how I'm reading that one. Maybe you've got a different perspective. Feel free to let me know on Spotify. You can, or through, you know, feel free to find us on Facebook. I do read everything that comes through. So that's that one. Number nine, most of what constrains us are invisible to us. This is why we have things called limiting beliefs. Sometimes you need someone from an outside to point it out and the humility to listen. Like, that's real deep. That's real deep because, you know, I was having this conversation with my business partner today, actually, about how our greatest enemy in life is always yourself. And, you know, we always kind of think other people around us and da da da, but it's always ourselves. We're always the one that holds us back. We're the ones with these limiting beliefs, these things that to us. And you know, I used to hate the phrase limiting beliefs because it's a bit shitty, if I'm honest. Like, I don't think it actually speaks to what it really is. It's kind of I like to think of it as the stuff we think is true. You know, those truths that to us are so real, you know, that, you know, it's like, say you're a vegetarian, and this is not against vegetarians, but if you truly believe vegetarianism is the only way forward, and that is your truth, you know, that is a belief, right? That is a belief. It's not true. You know, meat, vegetables, it's not, none of it's true. It's just a choice, but it's a truth to you, which is a belief. So belief is a truth that you truly believe. Now, limiting beliefs are limiting truths. So a truth that you believe so wholeheartedly that it stops you getting somewhere you want to go. Does that make sense? And those truths that when you actually dissect them and you work with them, you realize they're not actually completely real. You've kind of made them up due to experience after experience after experience and situation after situation after situation. You can actually change them. They're adjustable. But a lot of the time we can't see that we've got a truth that's not actually working for us. And we say truth like it's true. It's not. A belief is not true. It's a made-up point of view of our own that we've chosen to put energy into. And so if someone externally can point it out, it's great. But having the humility to listen, it's so tough. You know, there used to be days where I had to be right or I felt like I wasn't good enough, and it was really tough. Nowadays, I'm much more open to realizing how little I know in this world and how open I am to other people's perspectives. Some days less so, some days more so. And finally, number 10, just because something hurts you doesn't make it evil. Now, this is a big one. Just because something hurts you doesn't make it evil. Now, personally, you know, I would have, in the old days, you know, you'd get fear around anything that hurt. Pain hurt. But trying to understand that other perspective, the cause and effect, you know, a lot of the time when we have an effect, we think the cause is bad, mean, evil, has some ulterior motive is probably the way I'd say it. But realistically, 99 times out of 100, it really doesn't. You know, there's actually very little intentional evil. We may see a lot of stuff on the news and it'll sway our views and think, hey, there's all this evil in the world. But to be blatantly honest, it's nothing in the grand scheme of life. They have to put the most evil stuff on television, which is the 0.00001%, because they have to talk about something to get you to watch the news, right? You know, bad stuff on all political divides, all religious divides is so minute. It's crazy, right? The evil just isn't as evil as people make it out. But it doesn't stop things hurting. It doesn't stop feeling like you're hurt. You know, maybe you're playing in a football team and you don't, or a soccer team, and you don't get picked to be in the first team. You're a substitute. You might feel like someone's got something against you, all this evil negativity, all this stuff. But actually, they might just be going, hey, I'm just picking the team I think is best. It's nothing personal. But to you, you might think, oh, there's some bad, mean, you know, people out there. And that forms the stories. And it actually plays into number 9 there about limiting beliefs. You start to believe people have it out for you when they don't. You've just created this belief, and it's actually going to stop things happening for you in your life. So, yeah, that's kind of these 10 things. You know, it's just kind of a scramble of interesting advice that I'd written down. I hadn't spent a lot of time with. Now I've spent a lot more time of it, reading it and dissecting it. Hopefully there's something in there that stands out. I'll put this in the show notes. If it's of interest, have a listen, share the podcast. I always appreciate it. Use your dyslexic mind to take some of these learnings and just apply it. You know, you've got so much ability. Dyslexics are amazing. So hopefully you've enjoyed the pod, and I'll be back in a couple of days.